Without Jerry McIntyre, we wouldn't have won 10 games this year. Okay? Not 10.
DeVito, pop pass, end zone, touchdown, and the ball game. DeVito, in relief, wins it for the Orange.
They don't know about the kumbaya meetings we had this week.
Swing and a miss. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Josh Allen, touchdown Buffalo. A 14-yard quarterback draw.
Somebody in Vegas told them they were going to win by 20.
And a celebration begins.
This is On the Block.
Right, you know, there's validity in that opinion.
Here's X-Men.
Here on ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, ESPN Radio Utica Road. Heard on 96.5 FM. Hello, Utica. Great to have you on board, as always, on those great listening devices. You can also listen on the ESPN app wherever you go. Today, one of the few days this week you'll want to roam about. On the outside, I delivered the bad news to Summit this morning. I said, you know what? Today might be the only decent day we have for our walk. Tomorrow's going to cool off. Wednesday, as I look here at my weather app, Summit, 100% chance of snow is on the... Well, it helps when you turn the thing on. There you go. That's what I was... She kind of looked at me and she said, it's okay, Dad. We'll still go. I was like, no, listen, 100% chance of snow, so we should probably stay inside. And she said, no, I kind of like the snow, Dad. I'll go. And I'm like, well, I mean, your paws will get all wet. It'll be a whole thing. So anyway, that's me and my dog having, yes, I have conversations with my dog. You don't have conversations with your dog? Come on, give me a break. So today, take advantage of it. Get outside, get some vitamin D, and take us with you on the ESPN app. You can take us with you, watch us. Yes, you can see the show. This is radio, Brent. How do I watch you? Oh, well, here is how. Twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Hello, Twitch fans. Great to have you on board. You can watch the show. You can chat throughout the show. And you can get the show within the show, if you will. When the radio audience here goes to commercial breaks, you do not on Twitch. No, you do not. I mean, once in a while, Uncle Brent leaves the commercials on so he can take a little walk around the building or get a drink of water, something like that. But most of the time, our friends on Twitch kind of get their own show, the show within the show, during breaks. So however you're taking in the show today, greatly appreciate that. Looking forward to your calls at 437-7644. You can tweet me, Brent Tax Media, or as mentioned, the live chat on Twitch. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Uncle Ricky Beast is going to join us at 5 o'clock today. We're going to talk a little lacrosse. Now, I don't know how this happened. Somewhere along the way, I lost Rick to Orange Nation. They just kind of moved in on him and took him. You know, Rick did that Saturday morning lacrosse show for a while with Stephen Fonte. And I don't know when I lost this. I don't remember going to court for this. I don't remember the divorce. You know, if you grew up, when I grew up, remember Kramer versus Kramer? Back in the day, Dustin Hoffman, amazing movie. I don't remember when I lost custody of Uncle Ricky Beast, but I'm taking him back today because I know he'll be fired up as I am fired up about Syracuse lacrosse. And look, we can rant and rave and point and say, fix it. Well, how do they fix it? Because, you know, as passionate as Uncle Ricky is, he's also a coach and can offer some perspective on what he would do if he was a coach. I'm really interested in that. I'm really interested in X's and O's. If the fix is there on this team. Because I know what I see, and I know a little bit about lacrosse, but Uncle Ricky B sees the game deeper and better than I do. So we are taking Uncle Ricky back. I don't even know if it's my day to visit with him, but it's happening today at 5 o'clock. So we're looking forward to that. The Blind Side, 10 questions ready to go. Later in the program, we'll play where we at today with Syracuse basketball, because there was a little bit of news over the weekend that kind of reminds of what Syracuse is still looking for in the transfer portal. Of course, the big news coming late last week that Jimmy Boeheim officially commits to Syracuse. So we'll continue to discuss that. How about those New York Yankees? I'm going to try not to take too much pleasure in this, okay? And it is Patriots Day in Boston, a day of celebration. I know the Yankees are going to come around. I know they're going to be fine. The Red Sox do not have the pitching to keep this up long term. But you know what they say in sports, folks? You got to take it one day at a time. And on this day, the Yankees stink. So we're surely going to enjoy that. And the Knicks do not. What the hell happened? What? The Knicks are good and the Yankees are not. What year is this again? So we'll get into that, some hot takes. So we're really going to ramp up the NFL draft stuff as we're 10 days away from the draft. Andre Sisco getting a lot of love this weekend. So we will discuss that coming up. But I do want to start with lacrosse. And I do want to start and note this, that the Syracuse women's lacrosse team continues to destroy people. They continue to look really good. They continue to be a team that I don't know if they can win the national championship, if you want my honest opinion, because North Carolina's just that good. But I would love for them to prove me wrong. They go out and outscore Louisville this weekend in two games by a combined 38-12.
And another goal there for Syracuse as Megan Carney gets her number two of this one, and she does. Syracuse in firm control.
ACC Network on the call there. The Meg Show added again this weekend. Emma Ward gets a hat trick. Some Emma Tyrell gets in there. Megan Tyrell held scoreless for the first time, it seems, in forever. And let's just get this out there, that there is a national championship contender at Syracuse. Now, again, I don't think they're there quite yet because North Carolina is just that good. But this week is going to be a huge indicator of that because Syracuse plays Boston College, and kind of the weird scheduling they're doing this year in a doubleheader, just like they did for Louisville. This essentially takes the place of the ACC tournament. They're just putting teams on the schedule 2 and 3 days. Boston College later this week, number 3 versus number 4, top 5 matchup. I want to be careful because last time I really hyped up Syracuse and North Carolina and that didn't go so good. But this one, I think, is going to be an epic matchup. And we'll get to that later in the week. So let the record state that there's a really good team that is legitimately in the conversation, certainly to make the Final Four and to win the national championship. And that is the Syracuse women's lacrosse team. As it stands in this moment, you can cross the men's team off the list of winning the title. That's not happening. And that stings because this felt like a team that could do it. The hype at the beginning of the season was valid. This is a team that started last year 5-0. They were number one in the country. They were well on their way to at least establishing themselves in the conversation again to legitimately win its first national championship since 2009 and get to its first Final Four since 2014. That was legit. Season shuts down. When the season began this year, you're telling me that 7 All-Americans come back, including, we can go through all the names, you know the offensive firepower that this team has. But you get an all-world goaltender back in Drake Porter. You get a terrific face-off contingent with Jacob Fopp and Danny Varello, all the offensive players. Stephen Rafus comes back. Go through them all. Tucker Dordovic, right? Jamie Tremboli, go through the list. Add Owen Hiltz to the mix, who is one of the best freshmen I've seen come along at Syracuse in a long time. Talent-wise, he had a shot in this game. It's like, that's just silly. That just makes me want to say, you know what you should do on offense? Give him the ball every single time, and let's see what happens. But see, ironically, that's part of the problem for Syracuse right now. But point being, that was not overhyped. That team was in the conversation with, and a lot of teams brought players back and added talent. The fifth-year rule, the spring sport was the first opportunity for these fifth years, 6 years in some cases, to come back, granted the extra year of eligibility. So everybody was talented and loaded, but Syracuse was right there with them. Well, what we've seen here, when they truly go up against it, they do have a win over Virginia in the books. They have Virginia and Notre Dame to come. They got two games left here to prove me wrong. But they are not a national championship contender. And I am now having to, I mean, you got to cross them off the list of, at this moment, being a legit Final Four contender. Folks, if the rule holds in lacrosse, and they haven't really straightened this out yet, I checked on it over the weekend, they haven't really come out and declare this officially, we don't know if the rule will hold that you have to be above 500 to make the NCAA tournament. Now, I tweeted that this weekend because I'm fairly confident that's going to be the case. But let's say that holds. They might not finish 500 at this rate if this is how you're going to play defense. They're 5-4 with two top three teams to come. Now, I know they obliterated Virginia earlier this season, but I think we all know that's the anomaly. Given the series between these two, how competitive the games have been, and Virginia is a lot better now than they were then. Notre Dame's got their number. I mean, no, they're just going to have to double-team Pat Kavanaugh and hope for the best. And they're going to need Drake Porter to have the games of his life in the next two. It's easy to pick on the defense, but, I mean, Drake Porter faced 37 shots. 37 shots. 37, is he, if you've seen Clerks. 37! I'll just leave it at that. But 37 shots. And you know what a lot of those were? They were one-on-one. They were open. They were, this defense is just, they lack a true shutdown defender. I think Mitch Wyckoff is a good player. You want to talk about overhyped a little bit? I don't mean to be insulting to the kid, but I was told he was a shutdown defender. He's not. He's a good defenseman, okay? But this defense, if you want to be fair about this, it lacks a shutdown defender. It lacks a Rick Beardsley. It lacks, not to inflate Rick's ego even more than we have, but seriously, it does not have a shutdown defender. And I know that because, and I understand that these are some of the best players in the country. But when Michael Sowers, Chris Gray, and Pat Kavanaugh have a field day against you, I'm not saying you got to shut those guys down, but you do have to slow them down. They can't do it. So if you're going to play teams with elite-level talent, and that's what they've been doing lately, and that's what they're going to continue to do down the stretch here, you can't even slow those guys down. Too many open shots. Drake Porter's a great goalie, but when he faces that many wide-open chances, he's just going to break down. The face-off, I don't know what's happened there. I mean, Danny Varello came in and kind of stabilized things as the game went. But, look, if you saw the game, North Carolina came in, delivered an uppercut, and Syracuse staggered in the corner the rest of the game. The clear was awful. North Carolina was up 5-0 before you could even blink an eye, and they just rolled from there. Just absolutely rolled from there. So I want Ricky Beast's opinion on the face-offs. I know what I see. Jacob Faup, God bless the kid, admitted he had to go home to kind of work on the face-off thing. Maybe the new rules are messing with these guys. But bottom line, you had to feel really good about having Jacob Faup and Danny Varello in your corner, and it's been inconsistent. So when you lose possessions and you have a defense that can't slide and can't stop anybody, I don't care what your offense is. And I've said that through the season. One thing I've been consistent on, this is what I feared, honestly. Because what I've said throughout is Syracuse's best defense is their offense. Just go out there and outscore people and hope your defense makes enough stops. You get enough possessions. And Drake Porter makes a lot of great saves. And that, to an extent, is what we have seen. But they're overwhelmed right now. Now, add this in. On Saturday, watch North Carolina. I tweeted this while watching the game. But if you watched the game, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you didn't, North Carolina, who, look, if you stack up North Carolina top to bottom and Syracuse top to bottom, Syracuse has more talent than North Carolina does. And that's not taking anything away from Carolina. They're really good. They're top five team for a reason. Chris Gray is one of the best players in the country. But if you stack them up top to bottom, Syracuse has more talent. They just do. But when you watch North Carolina play, you know what that is? That's a team. They move the ball. Anish Shroff, our good friend, tweeted this. And, of course, then somebody did this because that's the internet. But Anish tweeted, like, watching North Carolina is as if it's set to a symphony, as if it's set to Mozart. And then, of course, somebody edited that together and put the North Carolina offense with Mozart, which was fun to watch. Now watch Syracuse on offense. It's some guy who cradles for 8 seconds and then takes a bad shot. They don't move the ball, and I don't get that. You have all this talent. Look, Tucker Dorovic was great. Owen Hiltz was great. Everybody else had their moments. I don't want to just make this a completely dump on them fest, but you lost 21-9 at home. when, look, this is your ACC tournament. There is no ACC tournament this year, which Syracuse has done very well in. You're in it now. And it's spaced out. It's kind of like the football schedule. You went Saturday, Saturday, Saturday between North Carolina, Virginia this week, Notre Dame next week. And while we're on the subject of the schedule, you better schedule somebody May 8th as insurance, because you might need that just to get in the tournament. It was supposed to be Utah. They canceled. We played Virginia, coincidentally, this weekend. You better put somebody on the schedule. I don't care if it's Bishop Ludden. Maybe Ricky Beast will volunteer for CBA to get out there. You better put somebody out there, because you might need that game to get in the tournament at this rate. Now, look, they've got two games to fix this. And I know we're comparing apples to oranges here, but the basketball team, they lose to Georgia Tech. It's not looking good. They've got two games left. North Carolina, Clemson, they had to win them. They did. Now, again, the lacrosse team doesn't have the benefit of the ACC tournament, but the basketball team found itself at the right time of the year when everybody was looking at them saying, what's up here? The difference is the lacrosse team had higher expectations, and for good reason. If you go from a team that starts in some preseason polls number one in the country with all that talent and you don't even make the tournament, folks, everything's on the table. You name it, it's on the table. That's embarrassing. That's bad. It's for a program that is trying to stay in the conversation as one of the elites. But look, as they said in Ghostbusters, I've worked in the private sector. They expect results. You can't keep thumping your chest and saying you're an elite program if you haven't won a title since 2009 and haven't been in the Final Four since 2014, and you have the talent, because they do. And by the way, they got the number one recruit in the country coming in next year. Owen Hiltz is going to be a stud. I mean, this is not for lack of talent. What you're getting into is scheme. You're getting into coaching. You're getting into motivation. You're getting into all those little X factors. I mean, at least with basketball, you can throw the 2-3 zone. Not that this mattered against North Carolina and Clemson, because they've seen it, but Syracuse came together offensively. Look, Buddy Boeheim went on a heater, but that 2-3 zone, like a lot of things, the mental game worked for Syracuse. Did you watch that team on Saturday? Back to the lacrosse team now? They were mentally defeated in the middle of the first quarter at home, which, yeah, it's just under 1,000 fans, but you actually had bodies in there. You had fans that paid money to go see you and went through the COVID procedures to come see you, and that's how you respond? That's how you play? That's not the Syracuse lacrosse team I thought I'd be watching. And I want to be fair here. They're good enough to climb out of this hole. But if that defense can't, they're not going to fix it, but if they can't put a patch on it, if that offense can't move the ball and get going, if you can't right yourself at the faceoff X, you're putting way too much pressure on Drake Porter, and you could miss the tournament. Now, if I was making a bet on that today, would I say they're going to miss the tournament? They'll find a way to get Syracuse in the tournament. But one way or the other, they're getting a bad draw. This is no longer a national championship contender. And they're barely hanging on a thread of, the only reason I leave them in the Final Four conversation is you get in the tournament, anything can happen. But right now, give me a reason to think that this team, they won't match preseason expectations. You can't do that now. You can't. You make a Final Four, it could absolve a lot of this stuff. But we can't keep pretending this is an elite program if they don't produce the results that verify that. That's what comes with high expectations. That's what comes with what you are showing, by the way. This isn't just me speculating what I want to see. You have a title contender on paper. Now, the rest of the sport's great. I know that, you know that. If you follow the sport, especially this year with the COVID exemptions and the loaded talent that's out there, and mix it in, Duke, Maryland, the team we just saw, North Carolina, Virginia, all the newbies that have come in, the Denvers of the world, Georgetown. Yeah, Georgetown. They're in the top 10. I mean, go through all the names here. Lacrosse is a sport that has obviously expanded its talent pool beyond. Like, some of the core four, they're not even there anymore. Where's Princeton? Now, the Ivy League's not playing this year, but the past few years has not been the dominant Princeton that we've seen. Johns Hopkins, where are they? They're in the Big Ten. What did that do for them? They're not the elite program currently. Historically, of course, they are. Currently, though, they're not in the conversation. I actually like the fact that we've got some new blood in this conversation. Syracuse is trying to hold on to this legacy as an elite program, and bottom line is, they are not, based on the results in the here and now. And I thought this was the year they could pull kind of an, oh yeah, did you miss us? Well, that's done. Now they just have to salvage something out of this season. And they got two games to do it, maybe three, and you get in the postseason, anything can happen. So I'm leaving that window open, but you can't stop anybody. That's not going to happen. And on that note, we will break. Your comments certainly welcome at 437-7644, Brent Dax Media on Twitter, and the text line, 288-0644. Let us get our stock market update, and then when we come back. So what you're telling me is the Knicks are good and the Yankees are not. Well, what dimension are we in? Excuse me? This is a thing now? I blinked my eyes and those two rules reversed. Like, what's happening here? So we'll talk about that coming up. First, our friend Bill from Lee Baldwin & Company is going to tell us how the market did on this Monday. Bill, how you doing, man? Happy Monday to you.
Good. Happy Monday. You might have to go back to the 80s when the Knicks were better than the Yankees.
Exactly.
But quiet day in the market today. A little bit of pullback with the Dow falling 123 points. Even Bitcoin fell over the weekend. So plenty of dogs today. We had a diamond in the sport of soccer, Manchester United, one of the few publicly traded stocks, up 7% as they're trying to create a Super League over in Europe, and a lot of people aren't too happy.
I can buy stock in that?
MANU, yeah.
Wow.
And now Man City is the top company. And I guess Juventus is publicly traded. I don't know if they are in the U.S.
That's
Ronaldo's team.
How about that?
A few publicly traded. And Madison Square Garden's been publicly traded forever. But in the dog space, we're going with Peloton. The Consumer Commission warned families using the Tread Plus machine that it can injure small children and pets, and they even want the company to recall the product, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. But that's it today.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. Appreciate the sports insight there in the stocks as well. Yeah, that Peloton thing, I saw some video of that over the weekend. It's like literally swallowing kids and dogs. So, yeah, you might want to rethink that purchase if you were thinking about that. MSG stock up for the first time in a while. You learn something new every day. I don't know what this Super League is. Maybe Tommy can explain it to me. I have no idea, but we'll get into that later in the show. We're going to talk some New York sports next. Stay right there.
This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
There's an appropriate bump there, friends. Always good to have a little Springsteen bring us back, but of course, 10th Avenue Frieza. It's about New York City. See, we don't just go at the standard New York, New York, Sinatra leading. Come on. So what you're telling me is the Knicks are good and the Yankees are bad. This is what you're telling me? What dimension are we in again? Are we still on planet Earth? Like, look, I get it's April 19th, and all the Yankee fans over the weekend, I'm going to try not to enjoy this too much. Okay, look, the Red Sox are good right now. Let me just put it to you this way. The Yankees scored 7 runs all weekend. The Red Sox scored 7 runs by noon today in a single game against the White Sox on Patriots Day. They are hitting the stitches out of the baseball. This will not continue at this rate. The Red Sox pitching is not good enough to sustain over the long term here. All right, so this is not Red Sox fan puffing out his chest too much right now. I am enjoying it. I did text my friend John Jastrzemski, our boy JJ, who was on last week, saying, hey, listen, just want you to be informed for your new podcast. And I kind of threw some stats at him about the Yankees right now. And I did enjoy all the Yankee fans this weekend, because the comparison was made that the Yankees were in last place for the first time since 1998. And, of course, the response that you got was, well, what happened in 1998? And if you think that this Yankee team is on the level of that Yankee team, then we need to have a talk. Like, No, but the expectation is the same. The expectation is exactly the same, and that is World Series or bust. So that's where you can say that. Okay, so what is the deal with, let's start there. And I know that Brian Cashman had a little media session today. He backed up Aaron Boone, but that's part of the problem. What's a big part of the problem is Aaron Boone has to manage this team through the front office. I start to get now why Tony La Russa manages the White Sox and why there's been some chatter amongst Yankee fans that they would like to see Buck Showalter come back in. Because while the manager manages through the front office and analytics, and that's why Aaron Hicks is batting third and some of these things as a Yankee fan you just have to be scratching your head at, Boone is a player's manager. And apparently he had a closed-door meeting on Friday and tried to drop the hammer, and it's like, well, and listen, this is my new friend, Aaron Boone. Of course, we had the great media event with Aaron Boone last year at the Turning Stone. Some clients of ours were there, had a great time, had a ball, absolutely loved meeting Aaron Boone, even thinking about 2003. But you can't be the player manager, slap everybody on the back, relate to the younger generation guy, and then try and drop the hammer at the same time. So the analytics wizards are losing, and the arrogance in which the Yankee front office puts this about, the strategy that they have, when they, I mean, come on, Yankee fans, you can give me 27 all you want in the history and everything. They haven't won squat in 20 years, right? That's not a Red Sox fan talking. That's just the truth. So for them to just kind of put out, like, how dare you question what we do? It doesn't work. Watch the Dodgers-Padres this weekend. That's going to be the premier series in baseball this year. And you know what they do? They play baseball. They move runners, and there's defense and timely hitting. The Yankees, it's all about home runs. And it will come. The runs will come. There's too much power in that lineup for it not to. But you got to play baseball. And I don't see that from the Yankees. Does a manager make a difference? Listen, I held my nose when the Red Sox rehired Alex Cora because he cheats, but look at the Red Sox. I mean, they look like a team. The chemistry is great. Again, I don't think they have the pitching to hold up here. But for now, cheating who? Garbage can't. Never heard of it. He was watching what video? Did he rent a video from Blockbuster Video? I have to put that reference in there because I watched that documentary the other day about the last Blockbuster, which was amazing if you haven't seen it. Just absolutely loved it. But, okay. That's just what I see on the surface right now. Let's look at some things here. Yankees are 5-10. That's their worst 15-game start since 1997. They are batting .210. That's their worst since 1968. Their OPS is .642. That's their worst since 1973. They have struck out 139 times. That is the worst since. This is right in the stats that I'm reading you right now. This is not me interjecting some humor into this. It is in the stats. Worst since ever. Worst since ever. In the 11 games that have not been started by Gerrit Cole, Yankee starters are 1-6 with a 6.39 ERA. Look, I'm telling you what you know. I got more. New York has lost 5 straight for the first time since September 4th, 8th, getting outscored 30-14. The Yankees managed 11 hits against Tampa Bay, who outscored the Yankees 17-7, and New York pushed across just 3 runs other than on home runs. Should I keep going here? Look, Aaron Boone's won 100 games twice. Aaron Boone, up to this point, I think was a manager that Yankee fans kind of sort of tolerated. Now they're out for blood. It's like, well, how much rope do you give someone who's won 100 games a couple times, relates to the players, was hired in the mold of an Alex Cora, in the mold of these younger, just-off-the-field managers that not only relate and can keep the clubhouse straight, but they'll do what the front office tells them to, manage through analytics. It's April 19th. I understand that. You understand that. But I listened to JJ's podcast today. A lot of people that I really trust, a lot of people that follow the Yankees are like, look, this isn't just an April thing. This is what this team is. And they've got it. But see, here's the question. Well, what can you do? AAA is not even playing right now, so you can't even call guys up. The trade deadline's too far away. They just have to play their way through this. Now, can you shuffle the lineup and change? Of course you can do that. Again, Aaron Hicks batting third, that ain't working. You got to fix that. But they just have to play their way out of this. But even if they play their way out of this, is this a team that is structured and built to win in October? I can tell you that here in April, the answer is no, it is not.